Welcome to part two of our conversation with Bruce Halliday about who we're talking to when one is using a ghost box. Is it always the dead or spirits that we're communicating with through it? Or can it be other things? Can it be possibly even the living that are somehow their energy, their messages are being picked up and coming through? Tell me about that a bit.
Okay. There's a few avenues we're going to investigate here.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them, I can virtually say that I'm 99.9999% sure, positive, that we do communicate with spirits that were once physical human beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a certain thing. Like, I know that I communicated with my uncle, for instance. I know that he was my uncle. He was a physical human being. He was, and I know it was him I was communicating with. So therefore, that validation tells me, yes, we do communicate with spirits of human beings that once lived in the physical. So let's put that one aside. That's a gimme. Let's move on to the what ifs. A lot of people have different schools of thought. And there's no way to either prove or disprove these theories, okay? Some people, let's take the first one, for instance, the most prevalent, other than spirits, would be aliens,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, a lot of people believe that we're speaking to ET, we're speaking to extraterrestrials that are living, they're from another planet. Some people that follow that theory, well, that train of thought, believe that the aliens are here on our planet and communicating. Others believe that they're out in space in ships communicating. And then there's others that believe that they're on another planet and communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So as I have to admit, now this goes back to, we're going to touch back on what we said about deceiving communication.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get communication. Matter of fact, I recently got more communication than normal, leading me in the direction of, I was receiving the communication from aliens. Okay.
Okay.
The communication I received was warnings about an attack on Earth, references to spaceships, references to actually being, they don't call, the entities that came through with that communication did not call themselves aliens. We call them aliens. That's our name for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They actually, whoever was communicating actually referred to themselves as otherworldly beings. So that communication coming through, and it came through really clear. You know, I mean, really quality communication, not something that was garbled or could be taken one way by some person and another way by another person. It came through clear enough to understand exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that led me to do a whole session on trying to communicate with aliens. We're trying to find out if we were communicating, possibly communicating with aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So I called upon my two, you know, usual technicians, Mike and Lisa.
Sure.
And I let them know exactly what I was going to do the session about. And I told them that the first few questions were going to go to them. Okay. So my first few questions on that subject were, you know, are we communicating with aliens? Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Solid no. All right. Is it possible to communicate with aliens? Yes. Okay. Can you tell me, is anyone communicating with aliens? Yes. Okay. That's all the questions I have for you guys. If you could just sit on the side and do your thing. I'm right now, I want to try and contact some aliens. Okay. So I put it out there. Any aliens that may be listening to this communication, if you can please communicate with me, I would appreciate it. I got basic, generic communication. the yeses, the noes, the heres, the we ares, the, you know, basic communication that could be interpreted in different ways pertaining to the questions that were asked. Mm-hmm. So the whole session was about 15 minutes long, and I didn't get any definitive answers that would lead me to believe that, yes, we were communicating with aliens. Now, this could also be the communication we receive or that other people receive that lead us to believe we're possibly communicating with aliens when they say, when they send messages about an attack on Earth or spaceships or aliens or otherworldly beings, whatever they want to call themselves, they could be deceiving spirits. They could be spirits that are trying to get our attention and keep our attention so that we'll keep the line of communication with them open. Mm-hmm. So that, there's no way to definitively answer that question. Are we communicating with aliens? Is it possible? Listen, we're talking to the dead. As far as I'm concerned, anything's possible.
Sure.
Sure. You know what I mean? But is it probable? In my opinion, in my experience, no, it's not probable. No, we're not speaking to aliens, extraterrestrials. First of all, you would have to look at it this way. Even if we were, even if the aliens were on this planet and communicating with us, the closest habitable planet that we've been able to locate that could sustain any type of sentient life, all right, is in Alpha Centauri, which is 100,000 light years from Earth, mm-hmm. which means that you would have to travel in a spaceship at the speed of light for 100,000 years just to reach our planet, okay? Now, if you're going to do that, wouldn't you come here and communicate with the president of the United States or the president of Russia or go on 60 Minutes, make yourself known if you were going to make that kind of trip? Why would you communicate with Bruce Halliday over a ghost box that could be taken one way or the other?
Sure.
You know what I mean? If people say they're communicating from another planet, in order for any radio frequency, audible signal, any type of audible communication frequency that could be sent from anywhere, given the rules of physics, mm-hmm. would take maybe a 500,000 years
yeah.
to get here from Alpha Centauri. So if they're answering my question, if I say, are we speaking to aliens? And they say, yes, we are aliens. And they're sending that message from a 500,000 years ago. How did they know what question I was going to ask a 500,000 years in the future?
Sure.
At that given second in time. Mm-hmm. And know that their communication was going to reach me within 10 seconds of me asking that question.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's the probabilities are, astronomical. The odds are astronomical that we're actually communicating with aliens. And if I had to put a yes or no label on it, in my opinion, I would say no. The alien question is a no.
What about the idea, though, of communicating almost with the living, maybe someone's subconscious in some way, shape, or form?
Okay, a lot of people, that's an area of belief in the paranormal also, mm-hmm. in ITC. That's an area of belief. People believe that we are getting cerebral communication, telepathic communication, subconscious telepathic communication between ourselves. Mm-hmm. Between other physical beings and the operator of the ghost box. It would have to, I can shut that down quickly.
Okay.
If I'm sitting here right now on a Wednesday afternoon at your time would be what, 11:47 p.m.?
Yes, yep.
Okay. At 11:47 p.m., right, and I ask the question, is there anyone there that can communicate with me today? Okay. I would have to have someone in proximity to me that would subconsciously, telepathically receive that question and then be able to intelligibly, subconsciously, and telepathically return the answer, have their telepathic energy from their mind manipulate the fragments of the ghost box to form the word yes and then deliver it through the ghost box.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as us communicating cerebrally with other living human beings through a ghost box, I don't know about any other medium that people are using that may be more possible. But as far as a ghost box goes, that's got to be another no for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Does the physical location affect who you can communicate with through the ghost box? When we're talking about talking to spirits, let's just say, for example, being in the home of one's grandmother, are you more likely to get communication with that grandmother in that home that maybe, let's say, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, if you were there, versus let's say you live in, you know, upstate New York now and you're on the ghost box trying to communicate with grandma? Is there going to be a difference in likelihood of reaching that connection point?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason being is if you go to, like, say you were trying to reach your grandmother and you actually went to the home that she lived in and did a ghost box session and try to communicate with her, her residual energy, her residual spiritual and physical energy would be absorbed in that home.
Okay.
So that would tend to strengthen your connection with her on the other side. And the stronger the connection is, the easier it is to facilitate communication. And she would be, the more likely it would be that her spirit would be drawn to the area of communication where she would actually be able to send the communication, because she already has that. She has that connection with her own spiritual and physical energy that's now being exuded through the open connection of the ghost box and actually reaching out to her. It's like, it would be like a moth to a flame.
Okay.
You know, it would actually help facilitate communication if you were in an area where there was residual energy left by the individual you were trying to communicate.
And the moth to the flame is what makes it make sense, because you wouldn't be communicating with the residual energy. You'd be communicating with her, but like you said, the moth to the flame area, that's what would bring it, make it easier. Okay. That makes sense. One more question, and this kind of goes back to what we had talked about earlier about the idea of our emotions, fear, and things like that still existing on the other side, the essence of who we are and our personalities and all that still being over there. On this side, you know, a big thing that many of us are always striving to do is to improve ourselves, to be a better version of who we are and make our weaknesses and our negatives, tamper them down and to live a better life. Is that something that a spirit can do on the other side? Are there ways, if one is troubled, one has anxiety, one is very fear-based, and they pass away, and initially that's how they are in death, is that something that, are those anxieties and fears, can those still be overcome on the other side?
From what I've gathered in my experience, the theory that I've formulated from the experience on that particular subject, mm-hmm. is there are different levels of existence on the other side. When we first leave our physical bodies and we cross to the other side, it's sort of like a reception area. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a boot camp for spirits. It's to get your spirit adapted to being in spiritual form, to get your consciousness adapted to being in spiritual form, and to, I guess, learn the rules and regulations and learn what it's about now, you know, how to exist in the realm that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also that I could touch on another thing that seems to be that and the next level seem to be the only two levels we can receive communication from. Once an entity goes beyond that second level, after the initial level, mm-hmm. we no longer can communicate with them. They're no longer in a position where they can be reached and send communication to the physical world for some reason. That's once they cross the second level, that's it. They're gone. So the second level, as far as I can gather, is their self. How could I put it? It's them taking stock of themselves and their life and what they did in the physical world, what they learned, what type of person they were, how their deeds and actions affected other people, how they hurt other people or helped other people. Oh, it's a reflection. It's a stage of reflection of who they are as spiritual beings, who they were as physical beings. And I guess that would be the level where they would contemplate, you know, if they, the negative feelings that they have or the negative traits that they carried over or whatever, and try to either improve them or embrace them. Now, I haven't gotten the indication that they're actually forced to do one or the other. Mm-hmm. Your free will also carries over with you. You know, you have the free will on the other side to either be a good spirit or a bad one, you know? So that in itself, you know, that second level allows the entity, the spirit, to contemplate and either improve itself or by, you can't go back and undo what you did.
Sure.
Physical, but you can be aware and acknowledge any bad things that you've done and cleanse your spirit, so to speak. So you're able to move on to the next level. And you're not able to move on to the next level until you have that cleansing and awareness and acceptance of exactly what type of person you were and why in the physical. So here, we're only here as a learning experience. The few decades that we're given to exist in physical form is just another learning experience, because we've existed as spirits as long as time has existed, as long as God has existed. We've existed in spirit form before our physical life, after. You know, this is just another experience in our spiritual journey through time. You know, so that's what I've been led to believe. And also, it's tough because I have to put all this together. I have to formulate all these theories based on bits and pieces of information gathered over years of research. Mm-hmm. You know, I never have sat down with a ghost box, did a session, and was told in the time of that one session any pertinent information at length. They're only allowed to give us certain types of information. We're not allowed to have a looking glass, an open pane into the spirit world. We're, as physical beings, we're not supposed to know what we'll know when we're in the spiritual form. Mm-hmm. So we're only allowed to get certain types of information, certain quantities of information. So, you know, what I'm saying now, my theory may be completely off. But I'm giving you my theory based on what I have derived over years of experience and years of analyzing the communication that I've received.
That wraps up our conversation with Bruce Halliday. A big thank you to him for joining us on the show and sharing his experiences with us. And thank you to you for being a supporter of the show and keeping us on the air. The Grave Talks would not exist without your support. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.